Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Easter. Hard to believe. Hard to believe, ladies and gentlemen, 2016. And I am sitting here on Friday afternoon, good Lord knows what's happened since then, taping part of the broadcast today. We're almost always live and teleprompter free. We're pretty much live here. I've got a bunch of articles I want to go over and a whole bunch of what I think are the most informative, pertinent interviews we've done the last few months. Stefan Molyneux on the truth about Islam. I mean, what it is, what it's become, the things it does. If any other group was doing something like this, we'd call them basically, you know, somebody from the movie Saw or something. I mean, it's just out of control, and I'm not putting up with it with these political correct folks telling me to bow down to it. The atheists want to bash Christians all day. Okay, whatever, that's your free speech, but stop defending radical Islam that is dominating and intimidating and bullying the rest of Islam. And then I got criticized saying there is no nice Islam. Now, there have been periods where Islam has actually been a positive force. Mainline historians will tell you that. But my goodness, what it is right now is like a good case of brain cancer, something you do not want. So Stefan Molyneux is coming up. Pastor David Manning, or James David Manning, will be joining us. Tim Kennedy, the famous black op commander, famous for UFC and other stuff and for rewriting the Army's close quarters combat manual, but his exploits are secret. I'll just tell you this. People in the military say he's like double tough compared to even like a Chris Kyle, who they say is the super soldier. Well, this is the real super soldier. He'll get mad if I say that. And whether you like these wars or not, it's an expression of male prowess and human potential, the levels some of these special operators get to. He is the best of the best, and a listener, and a patriot, and exposing the New World Order. So before you bitch at the military for serving the globalists, they're figuring that out, and they're one of our biggest aces in the hole against the New World Order takeover. So people that hate our military, you've joined the globalist and the top of Homeland Security, who says our number one threat is returning veterans, patriots, gun owners, and stuff like that. You're basically working for the other side. And then Lou Rockwell, who's been pointing out that the West is committing suicide right now, he's going to be joining us. Ron Paul's former chief of staff, one of the top libertarians in the world. We got Doug Hagman on the plans by Hillary and others to basically start a race war in this country. That's coming up. And then a big interview I did with Jesse Ventura on war crimes, torture, potential presidential run, and a lot more is coming up in the transmission. But the first two big segments, this is the first mini segment, but the next two long segments, I am about to come back from break and just plow into this. Drudge on Friday had that amazing headline of Hillary with a photo of her Photoshop as an alien saying she will expose Area 51. She will give you all the big secrets of what's really going on there. And then we got a flashback of Bill Clinton coming out saying he wouldn't be surprised if aliens existed. Well, here's the deal. These psychopaths that run our planets are alien compared to most humans. And that's our real alien problem here. I use it as an allegory that they're fallen angels from another star system. The media has a hissy fit about it. But whenever Hillary says she thinks aliens are real, or Bill Clinton says, then it's okay. Well, I'm going to break down after the break. First up, what I think is really going on with that situation. And then we're going to get into political correctness coming up this Ishtarian holiday. Dropping Easter from eggs stirs culture war in the UK. This is from, what, it's in USA Today, the Daily Mail, you name it. Canterbury, England, the home of the Canterbury Ishtar egg. Ishtar egg, the Ishtar bunny. They don't like it because it's Christian. Let me give you a newsflash. It's occultic. And they put all the Christian holidays on occultic days. So all you occultists wanting to control free speech and rewrite the calendar and all the rest of this stuff for your Lord and Savior, Beelzebub, you ought to be very pleased at the Ishtarian holiday of fertility. But you're too stupid to do that. But your master controllers aren't. It's all coming up. A big broadcast. It's a big world. It's a big show. And each of us players upon it. I'm Alex Jones. Stand up and be counted. for those who are about to receive.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance. Rallying patriots worldwide. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Some would say this broadcast is the death throes of the American Republic. A futile attempt, a last desperate defense. Others would say it's the birth pains and the rebirth of the Republic. The great flower of the Renaissance. As wart-covered and ugly as it is, its dedication and love of humanity and free will is beautiful in the eyes of God. Thank you for joining us on this Easter. Let's crank it up. Stand up and be counted! Choose which side you're on.
For what you are about to receive.
We are the dealers.
We are the dealers.
To give you everything you need. Listen to that voice.
We now,
that's fury. For those about to stand up for humanity, I salute you. All right, here's the deal. It is Easter 2016. I'm your host, Alex Jones. We've got a lot of key interviews coming up today with Stefan Molyneux, Pastor James David Manning, Tim Kennedy, the Black Op Commander, Lou Rockwell, one of the top libertarians in the world, Doug Hagman, big insider with the federal intel that's been proven to be spot on, and Jesse Ventura, you know who he is, don't need to introduce him, and more on this special Easter global transmission. I want to go to a special report, first off, that I shot on Friday that's very powerful. Our story got posted on drudgereport.com, went viral. But I'll be honest, we had, last time I checked the metrics, only like 400,000+ readers of the Infowars.com article. That sounds big. It gets copied thousands of other sites, so who knows how big it really got. I would imagine millions ended up reading it. I know millions saw me and listened to us cover it on the Friday show. But Obama coming out and saying there's basically, quote, little difference between communism and capitalism. That is such a big deal. And I titled the video that's up on Infowars.com, if you want to make it go viral and resist this unbelievable evil, Obama endorses system that killed 200 million people. 200 million. That's 10 sports stadiums filled with 100,000 people, 200 times. I'm going to say that again to wrap your mind around it, because Stalin said one man dies is a statistic, 10,000 dies. No, one man dies is a tragedy, teleprompter free. One man dies, it is a tragedy, 10,000 die is a statistic. And that's true. You talk about 200 million people admittedly killed by communists in the 20th century alone, ongoing in communist China and Cuba. So the numbers are even bigger now. University of Hawaii did a big study on it on democide more than a decade ago and found in 2005 that in the previous 100 years, 260+ million people were killed. Fascists and other dictators, 60-something million, but 200-plus million killed by communists. And here's the president going, oh, just pick some things from communism and some things from capitalism and whatever works. I heard that over and over again in college. Because that's how they square big multinational corporations above the law, tax-exempt, diplomatic immunity, running and financing communist countries with a bunch of slave laborers to then sell those goods to somewhat still free countries. Which they're only using the free market goods they're getting to politically get power and raise more money to buy off the politicians in the, quote, free countries to exploit and take over that labor force and enslave them as well. Nobody's got a history of abusing families and women and children and workers like communists. But that's okay, because the big robber barons that run our universities and run our high schools and run our systems condition us that communism is the sweetest, most loving thing. In fact, children at birth don't have mammary glands from their mother to get milk. Communists a fairy flies down, V.I. Lennon, and gives the babies milk. That's our God, that's our Savior, that's our King. Let's go to this special report where I break it all down. Then I'm going to come back and talk about that fruitcake Hillary Clinton talking about Area 51. Fellow freedom lovers, in my 21 years on air, I have never seen a single event that was a more frightening bellwether of how much trouble Western civilization and what's left of free market capitalism is actually in. We are in so much trouble. Obama yesterday in Argentina, part of his Latin American tour that started in Cuba, said, quote, "There's little difference between communism and capitalism." Just yesterday, before I even knew he'd said this, I said that in latter stage communism, you have one party state where the generals and the inner party own the means of production, live like kings, and everyone else for slaves. This is what communism always turns into. This is the goal of communism since it began, not with Engels and Marx, but with the Jacobins and the French Revolution. Real communist history is not even taught in regular college, but in advanced PhD levels, it's there. Look it up for yourself. Think about this. 200 million people conservatively who were non-military, men, women, and children, were killed under communism in the 20th century. China has mobile execution vans and kills Buddhists for practicing their religion and sells their organs. Our media doesn't even criticize this anymore. On TV, on ESPN, and on other news channels, people were being drug away for peacefully protesting and beat up in Cuba. And they would laugh on ESPN and other shows. And it was no big deal that people were being drug away for free speech, saying, "Liberty, down with the Castros, the dictatorship." And our president goes out and says there's, quote, little difference, we can borrow from both. What, the forced labor camps? Do we borrow that? The empty store shelves? Do we borrow that? The shopping malls for the elite, but stores for the public, just a pile of potatoes? And Argentina, just 60 years ago, was even richer per capita than the U.S. There was a saying, riches in Argentine. But after they went under globalism and had managed capitalism, they're now incredibly poor. And he sits up there to an educated group and says, there's little difference, we should borrow from both. He said, it's good to have free market multinationally, but not in the country. See, multinationally, the globalists are above the law, tax exempt. They come in, they want to work with communist systems. The CIA admits they'd rather a dictator, a communist, or a fascist. But communism is the model they're going with. It's not communism, the way they teach it in school. Oh, everything's free and everything's happy. That's not how this works. We're going to play some of these clips for you right now, but this is unprecedented. It's so dangerous. This is like the president saying there's not much difference between capitalism and fascism, except fascism's only killed 50, 60 million people, not 200 million. Mao killed 80 plus million. Look it up for yourself. This is from an American president who tells Africans they can't have cars and air conditioning while he flies around on a jumbo jet. This is the new communism. Ultra rich, tax exempt, above the law, and you in a slave factory or a slave farm. I'm Alex Jones for InfoWars.com. Get this video and this report out to everybody.
You know, so often in the past, there's been a sharp division between left and right, between capitalist and communist or socialist. And especially in the Americas, that's been a big debate, right? Ah, you know, you're a capitalist Yankee dog, and oh, you know, you're some, you know, crazy communist, you know, that's gonna take away everybody's property. And I mean, those are interesting intellectual arguments, but I think for your generation, you should be practical. And just choose from what works. You don't have to worry about whether it neatly fits into socialist theory or capitalist theory. You should just decide what works.
listening to Alex Jones.
You walk into this room at your own risk, because it leads to the future. Not a future that will be, but one that might be. This is not a new world. It is simply an extension of what began in the old one. It has patterned itself after every dictator who has ever planted the ripping imprint of a boot on the pages of history since the beginning of time. It has refinements, technological advances, and a more sophisticated approach to the destruction of human freedom. But like every one of the superstates that preceded it, it has one iron rule. Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Man, I forgot how epic that liner is. And I think it's only in the computer in this studio. We're in this situation room doing the Sunday show today. Not in the big war room. We have got to put that in as like the main intro. Rod Serling. What a lover of liberty. You know, that guy himself. We got Tim Kennedy, an amazing veteran of so many tours. It's pretty much all secret. Let's just say this. He's beyond Chris Kyle when it comes to his exploits. Not just in snipering, but hand-to-hand stuff, you name it. Wrote the book on close quarters combat for the Army. He literally wrote the new book on it. He's going to be joining us, but wow, a good friend. But I'm sitting here listening to Rod Serling, who was a commando in World War II behind enemy lines. A lot of that's classified. And he was such an enemy of communism and fascism and socialism. Poor guy died of lung cancer too young. And he was just so upset about the direction he saw America going. And to hear our president promoting communism that killed 200 plus million people. I tell you, I got up Friday morning and saw Paul Watson's article on Infowars.com. And I said, that's sensational. Nobody else has picked this up. And I said, I'm going to type in DrudgeReport.com, the total news hound. And I bet money it's on Drudge. And boom, there it was, one of the top stories on Drudge. And that gave me some hope. It's like we're battling this pure evil. But what is the president doing just openly saying this? It's truly sickening. And selling the worst final phase of communism, where we need multinationals that are tax exempt above everything, but we need the country with the slaves to be communist. But let me get into the other news here in this segment. Attacks on free speech is just ongoing. This is from USA Today. Dropping Easter from eggs stirs culture war in the UK. Canterbury, you know, those little chocolate-covered eggs. They're delicious, but you give you a big headache, sugar crash. If you want demonic children, you know, that's all what Easter's about, is high blood sugar and then low blood sugar. Chocolate manufacturers in the UK have removed the word Easter from holiday egg candy that has delighted millions of children for generations, just like they're removing Christ from Christmas. But there's no war on Christian holidays. But a demand that manufacturers put Easter back on the package of chocolate eggs has become the latest culture war on the issue on the eve of Christianity's most important holiday, which falls on March 27th, which is today. It's deeply disappointing and shameful that some of the biggest companies, including Cadbury, and Nestle, are censoring the country's old tradition, said David Marshall, CEO of the Meaningful Chocolate Co., a group that set out to attempt to reintroduce Easter eggs and Advent calendars featuring nativity scenes. Listen, just leave Nestle. You know, Nestle was based in the U.S. It's based in Mexico now. I'm not against Mexico, but it just shows how these companies could care less, okay? And they dump their high fructose corn syrup garbage on everyone. One good thing about Mexico is everything they produce there has sugar in it, but what they make for the dumb gringos, you know, has the high fructose corn syrup. Mexicans won't buy something with it in Mexico because they know. So here's to Mexico. You know, at least they're not as dumb as we are. But this just shows the total and complete assault. I remember 10 years ago hearing about the war on Christmas, where they'd find girls giving out Christmas cards in a public school, and they'd say, you're going to be arrested or kicked out. That's violation of church and state. The school doesn't have an official religion. You can go talk about Pokemon, the Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, or Jesus Christ, or Baphomet if you want.
But again, this is political correctness, targeting Christians, targeting others, saying, you know, you have no free speech. If you criticize suicide bombers in England now, they send the police out to arrest you. This is intimidation. This is massive attacks. And this is out of control. And I'm not going to put up with it anymore. The way to counter this is to never buy a Nestle product again and to go out there and find the higher quality chocolate makers and others that are promoting Christ, because this is our holiday. And by the way, I'm not blaming the Roman Catholic Church. I'm not a Pharisee. I'm not on some high horse. Christmas was put on a pagan holiday on the Roman calendar, the deep of winter. Halloween is a high satanic or druidic human sacrifice day. The Catholics wanted to get rid of that, so they made All Saints Day to cover up Samhain or Samhain. Ishtar, Easter, Babylonian, you name it, it predates Christianity. It's as old as the pharaohs in Egypt, probably older. It's the bunny, the fertility. You know, Playboy magazine, the bunny, the bunnies, you know, they have lots of babies, they have lots of sex. They just put the time that Christ rose on another date to cover up pagan holidays. So you idiots trying to get rid of Christianity don't even know that you're actually trying to get rid of a pagan holiday. But I'm not saying when I celebrate Easter, like I did today with my family, that I am devil worshiping. God knows that it's about celebrating his son. And if it got put on that date, big deal. Let's worry about them selling baby parts and abortion and Chinese mobile execution vans and Obama saying communism is good and our government funding ISIS before we look at other Christians and say, hey, you're a moron. You're celebrating Ishtar and the Easter egg and all the rest of it on this holiday. The Tannenbaum is an ancient druidic evergreen tree they worship because they thought it didn't die during the winter. They were praying for the sun to come back, freezing their butt off in little huts and caves. It's beautiful. I love it. It's part of European culture. It's like Day of the Dead in Mexico. That's not some satanic holiday. That's about remembering your ancestors. And again, it's on the day before Halloween because the Catholics put it on that date to erase some of the stuff going on in Mesoamerica. But it doesn't matter. It's as long as you love justice and love life and love God. Christ was not a Pharisee, a Sadducee up there criticizing everyone like the church was at the time. He was saying, get right with God, do unto others as you have them do unto you, be a good person, stand up for life. And he was hanging around with, you know, reformed tax collectors and prostitutes. He wasn't hanging around with a bunch of the fake priests who later wanted him killed. Others would make him king. Others wouldn't stand for that. So you know what they did. So that's what this comes down to on Easter. Now, separately, I mentioned this just briefly. Big news when Hillary Clinton came out on the campaign trail and said she would release whatever's at Area 51 and let the public know and put all the conspiracy theories to rest. Bill Clinton said he wouldn't be surprised if aliens existed. That's just attention-grabbing headlines. Folks, we know it's at Area 51. It's been pretty much declassified. It was a B-1 and B-2 bomber and other stealth bomber training base. They've since moved it to other areas, okay, in Colorado and other areas. Mainly what it is a toxic waste dump where they've been covering up what's happening, and she wants to act like she's exposing all the secrets when she comes out, quote, as president and tells you what's at Area 51. It's a metaphor or a symbol of her claiming she's going to be truthful with you when she lied about Fast and Furious, Benghazi, cattle futures, and everything else she's done and getting billions from dictators at the State Department with her foundation. So it's all just a stunt. Area 51 doesn't have anything at it, and everybody that spent years obsessing on it has been completely chumped. That's why she's not worried about what's declassified there, because she can clean up the toxic waste dump and act like a savior. Stay with us. So joining us is fellow thought criminal Stefan Molyneux, host and founder of Free Domain Radio, and reaches hundreds of millions of people. YouTube.com/Free Domain Radio. Twitter, Stefan Molyneux, freedomainradio.com. Stefan, this is reaching insane asylum level. What do you think the cultural elite are trying to do? Because clearly it's an organized plan. It's the same thing in Europe, same thing here. I mean, has common sense been suspended? Because they don't get in trouble when they bring in 3 million refugees and they start burning, murdering, and killing. They get more power. I mean, what's happening here?
We don't have the historical view of Islam that is characterized by the history of the Crusades. Look, Christianity was a Middle Eastern religion. The European religions were like the old Norse religions with Ragnarok and so on. Christianity is a Middle Eastern religion. And how many Christian countries are there left in the Middle East, accounting, like, if you accept a little bit in Lebanon, none. Because Islam is a radical expansionist ideology. To say that Islam is a religion is like saying communism is an economic system. It is not true. Islam is a combination of religion and a highly expansionist political ideology. And highly expansionist is putting it mildly. Saying that Islam is somewhat expansionist is saying like a supernova is somewhat expansionist. Islam, of course, in the 7th century was founded. By the end of the 7th century, it had taken over most of North Africa and all of the Middle East. It is an incredibly expansionist ideology. It seeks one world domination, just as communism did. And the fact is that, of course, the first couple of Muslims are going to be nice because they have to wait to get the numbers up in order to begin to affect the kind of social change. When the Islamists first got their toeholds and then entire countries taken over in Europe, it took over 700 years of brutal medieval battle to drive the Islamic population out of Europe. And the Islamics, of course, were taking millions of Europeans, mostly through piracy, into the slave trade. The Islamists, 14 centuries of the slave trade, with a death count that has been estimated at over 110 million souls. So,
and let's just show a fact here to show how deep this invasion went. And of course, they'll call this racist just to give a cultural point. That's why southern Italy, Greece, southern Europe, eastern Europe, Spain is no longer blonde-haired, blue-eyed. All the way up into Poland, that's how far the invasions went in Poland, in Hungary. I mean, millions dying, giant, full-out wars. And when the Muslims came in, they would kill all the men, even if they converted. At first, the Christians didn't care and weren't fighting back. But the Muslims were killing everybody, putting them to the sword, loading the women into slave ships. And that's all in mainline history. The Muslims celebrate it.
The Crusades were a response to multi-century invasions of Europe by the Islamic religion and the imposition of Sharia law. Spain fell. Portugal fell. They were at the gates of Vienna. They were at the gates repeatedly of Rome. And it was in several crucial battles that the Crusades were fought. But it was not an invasion of the Middle East. It was a defense of Europe against Islamic invasions. When 3 out of the 5 Christian centers had fallen into Islamic hands, when the Islamists were at the gates of Vienna, that is when the pushback occurred. But this idea that, you know, these bloodthirsty Christians went along to these innocent Muslims who were just minding their own business and tending their chickens and just started slaughtering them for fun and kittens makes no sense and is historically completely inaccurate. Islam's goal was to conquer Europe. Islam's goal was being achieved. And the Christians, under the guidance of the Pope, finally said Deus vult and began to fight back. But it was a defensive war. It was not fundamentally a war of imperialism.
And that's not debated. For folks that don't know, I mean, Islamic TV, books, they all celebrate this. And then they say that's the goal, take over again. And you will convert or be put to the sword. And then the left just runs around lying, saying it's racist to say that this is being done.
Well, and I think that in Europe, they abandoned Christianity and did not replace it with any comparable moral guidance. And so what's happened is I think that a lot of the European secularists have failed and no longer fundamentally understand the fundamentalist religious mindset, such as is occurring in many places in the Middle East. They don't understand that there are lots of people in the world who have plans and ambitions that far supersede the sort of shallow materialistic pleasure seeking that most secular post-religious societies tend to fall into.
So they're blind.
And so they say, well, you know, if we got to Europe, we'd be happy to just get a job and be nice and so on. They do not understand the end times massive 72 virgins goals that a lot of fundamentalist Islamists have. And so they fundamentally are miscalculating the depth and nature of those who wish their demise. So very, very briefly, okay, so when it comes to slavery, the general narrative is the rest of the world was living, you know, hugging unicorns, kumbaya, everybody giving group hugs, playing with puppies in their safe rooms while the evil white Western European Christians were out there enslaving the world and colonizing and doing all these bad things, therefore give us welfare. Because, you know, white guilt is a very mineable resource on the planet, sadly, because whites suffer from a kind of pathological altruism that means I will sell you my own children in order to avoid being called racist. So the actual history is quite different. It's really 3 things to remember about Western slavery. Number one, it was about the shortest period of slavery in any culture throughout history. Slavery was indigenous to African and Arab countries before it made its way to Europe. Slavery was widely practiced by the American Indians long before Columbus came to the New World. Ethiopia had slavery until, yes, 1942. Saudi Arabia until 1962. Peru until 68. India until 76. And Mauritania until 1980. So it was not very long. The big peak of Christian slavery, 1519, 1815, that was sort of the peak period. There have, however, been 14 centuries of Arabic or Muslim slavery. And it's hard to know exactly because the records were mostly castrated and killed, but it was about 150 million African people, about 50 million from other parts of the world, vastly exceeding anything.
I forgot the Muslim slavery. They cut the penis and genitals off the men.
Yeah. Why are there no blacks? If blacks took 150, sorry, if the Middle Easterners took 150 million black Africans, why are there so few blacks in the Middle East? Well, because 80 to 90% of them died en route, and those who remained were castrated. And if they managed to escape that and have children with a local, the child was killed. So there was massive genocide of the slaves in the Muslim countries. Now, of course, all cultures have bad stuff in their history. The question is, Alex, what is the Muslims' current view of that history? Are they looking back and saying, like the Europeans do, wow, we did some bad stuff?
That's really terrible. No, look at what ISIS did in Libya, targeting blacks. They believe they're subhuman.
Right. And so and where are the Africans going to the Islamic countries demanding reparations, demanding preferential treatment, demanding massive resource transfers to them for the history of slavery? Because I don't think the Muslims feel a huge amount of guilt, at least according to what I've read. And I'm sure some individuals do, but there's not that same navel-gazing, looking in the mirror, saying, ooh, me bad,
well, the left
me bad,
also spins it, when I brought this up in college, to throw this in, and says it was different slavery in the Middle East and Africa. It was loving, like family. No, it's what you see with women chained up in houses with hoods on their heads. It's beyond what happened in most Western plantations, which I'm not defending. I'm just sick of, like, the abject sex slavery, white slavery of the Arabs is legendary.
Well, and so, number one, the Christians practiced slavery for the shortest amount of time. Number two, the Christians generally treated their slaves the best. But number three, which is also not insignificant, Christians ended slavery all around the world. I mean, that they fought, they bled, they
died. The British invaded a bunch of countries, took thousands of ships, you name it, would blow your ship up if you had slaves.
And bribed people to give up their slaves. So, you know, there's that old saying that no good deed goes unpunished. If you want to look generally at the best culture throughout history, you've got to put on this weird inverse lens. You've got to look at things kind of upside down. The culture that is criticized in the modern world is almost always the culture that has done the most good. And the ending of slavery after untold tens of thousands of years of its practice among humanity was, if not the most, one of the greatest moral triumphs in history. And now the only culture, the only race, the only religion that is demonized for slavery is that exact same religion that ended it, creating the greatest moral crusade that the world has ever benefited from and bringing untold wealth and liberty to human beings around the world. So it is completely ridiculous to say, well, white people ought to feel bad for slavery. It's like they're the only people who ended it.
And by the way, for liberals that are brainwashed,
not just in their own cultures, but around the world.
Well, for liberals that are brainwashed and just tuned in and can't believe this, this is mainline history. This is not what you're saying is in mainline history books. Stefan Molyneux, no, he's here with us ranting.
That's really what it is. That's really what is going on. Terrorism is the changing of people's political perspectives by acts of aggression, and the political perspectives in Germany are shifting now. Whether they
hold on, gotta go to break, Stefan. And folks, you can find his website and his podcast and more at Stefan Molyneux, freedomainradio.com.
Before America can be great again, she must be free again. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Dr. Manning joins us from ATLA, ATLAH.org. He spearheaded the boycott nationwide to get Al Sharpton kicked off MSNBC. He is in the face of the dragon. He's got the eye of the tiger. Doesn't need to be introduced here. I appreciate him holding.
Thank you so very much for having me. It's always a great honor. What is really going on behind this? It isn't just the fact that ISIS or Muslims want to take charge of territory. Listen, Saudi Arabia's got tons and tons and tons of money. George Bush was in the pocket of King Abdullah. Sure. And so is Obama. So, I mean, they don't need to be militant and to kill up a whole bunch of people to get their way. They can buy their way or bribe their way into the lives of politicians and do what they want to do. I'm just highly suspicious of what's going on, and wish I had a better answer for your audience today.
Well, I think you had a better answer because you just laid out, I wasn't even thinking about the Hegelian dialectic and all that, and then there you are laying it out, and it's prima facie. You know, it's true on the surface. Obama doesn't even lean down when he meets a Christian leader, and he shouldn't, by the way, because he's the head of state, but he does bow down to any Muslim leader he finds or foreign royalty. That is disgusting. What do you think that's about?
I think it's about simply what's in his heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So when Obama comes in contact with the Muslims and others, his heart tells him to bow down to this power.
Well, he's so sweet to them. And then every Easter, he badmouths Christians and said, remember last year? And says, we're mean and hateful.
Well, you know, the funeral of Judge Justice Scalia was not attended by the Mac Daddy Obama. He didn't go. And one of my audience participants said the reason why he did not go is because it was in a Catholic church. You know, the Catholics are heavy on biblical symbolism. They got the cross and Jesus all over everywhere in their sanctuaries. And when Obama, in his first year of office, spoke at Notre Dame and also at George Weston University there in Washington, D.C., if I'm pronouncing the university correct, he made them cover up the picture of Jesus.
That's right.
And cover up the cross at Notre Dame and also at the university. But he couldn't get the Catholics to do that at Scalia's funeral, so he didn't go. That's his, you're right, he bashes Christians.
That's almost like a vampire, because I forgot he'll never be seen with a cross around him. What is it?
I mean, a cross will actually bring him to his knees. So he has it covered up. I was so put out when Notre Dame did that going back. You remember when that happened going back a year ago? Not a year ago, but several years
ago. I've forgotten about that.
No, and Dr. Alan Keyes was out there on his knees begging people to wake up to what's going on, that you got to cover up the cross of Jesus to get this low-life piece of trash called Obama to come and speak at one of the Catholics' most leading and notorious schools.
That's crazy, because when he goes to India or anywhere else, he will stand in front of any other religious symbol but the cross, and they do cover it up everywhere. Wow, that is such a message that he doesn't want to be seen worldwide with that image associated with him. That is unbelievable.
What are we going to do about Christians in America that allow that to take place, who feel cowed, into allowing him to do that? Hands are tied. We're just helpless. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion means that separation of church and state means that as Christians, we shouldn't challenge him.
Well, I was about to say, I've never worn jewelry other than a watch, but I just feel moved the last year or so to get a small cross and start wearing it around my neck. Just because the enemy hates it so much. Why does the enemy hate that symbol so much?
Because it's the most powerful symbol in all of the known universe. You can go from planet to planet, from star to star, from galaxy to galaxy, and the cross is it, Alex. Go get one. It's power. And I like to see Obama. If first thing I'd do, I'd flash him. I'd have my jacket closed, you know. If I came into his presence, I'd have my jacket closed. Then when I came up to him, I'd flash open my cross.
And I've got some family that's Baptist, others that are Methodist, and they can't even go to their Methodist churches anymore, including the biggest one here in town, because let me tell you, they get up there and they're talking about all over the country taking crosses out. Germany's doing it too, saying it's hurtful to those that aren't Christian. Well, then you're not a church anymore. So that's what this move is about. Everybody else's symbols can be there, but Christians. This is so discriminatory. We're going to go back to Pastor Manning. But as they attempt to intimidate free speech, it's time to take action. Lord Monckton said he didn't used to wear a big cross until they started trying to restrict him and said, don't wear them in England. And the UK, on the news, they said they're hurtful. He wears a giant one now. And you know what? I just thought of it. I'm going to put out a T-shirt that's basically Crusader style, with a big shield and a big cross, with something like defending free speech since 13-something. Because it was Islam that invaded Europe dozens of times, killed millions, till the Crusades responded to push it out. And I was taught in school and college that the West was bad in the Crusades, even though the very textbook admitted that Islam started expanding before Muhammad even died. It had taken over thousands of miles. So, I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy to sit there and blame groups that didn't do anything for things that happened in history. It just shows the attack on reality. It's like blaming Donald Trump for saying, we're not vetting any of the people coming in from the Middle East. We'll block them all till we vet them. Before that, he's like, well, we got to bring the Christians in. They're being killed. No, sir, they're not letting the Christians come out. For every couple hundred Muslims, they'll let one Christian in. That's in the news. They won't let Shiites in because they're not allied with Obama. I just feel such an earnestness, and it seems like the enemy is moving on all fronts. Is the enemy moving on all fronts because they're in trouble or because they're emboldened? And what do you think about Trump, other big issues? What's front and center for you right now?
One of the things that Trump has been able to do profoundly is to demonstrate that all media, that they are phonies, they're liars, they're inconsistent, they're not for the American people, they're bought and paid for. It doesn't matter whether it's Fox or whether it's MSNBC. He doesn't make a distinction. They're all in it, if you will, in a way that doesn't produce, that doesn't benefit the American people. Trump has made that clear. What I want to say about the Manning Report and things we do here, and certainly you might want to think about it as well, and get your supporters to think about how we need to start having investment procedures so that we can protect ourselves at the collapse of the medias that are going to collapse as a result of what Trump is doing, because a number of institutions that are presently standing are not going to stand on the Trump presidency. I've said so, and everybody listening to me on our broadcast know, I've said that your ministry, Alex Jones, InfoWars, will be number one when ABC and others go out of business. You have been bringing the truth, the news, to people without being paid for by the advertisers or the lobbyists or politicians that will not come on your broadcast unless you give a particular point of view of support for them.
What do you think Trump's place is already in history? For whatever reason, he is just devastating him on every front. What is your view overall of how Trump's doing and where this is going? Because I'm really concerned for his safety.
I am too. And I don't like to talk a lot about it because I don't want to give people ideas, but I am prayerful, very prayerful. And I would ask everybody else to be concerned. But Trump is a revolutionary. When I look at Trump and I look at George Washington, and everybody please listen to me very carefully. I'm not trying to raise a man above his stature. It doesn't profit me. I've been living too long to do such. But when I look at how George Washington handled the establishment of King George and when the revolution was called, that we needed to be set free from England and its tyranny over us as a free and independent people. And Washington was able to lead a fierce battle to have that happen in the Revolutionary War and then become the president. You know, when I look at Donald Trump, take him back 200 years back to the 17th to 1800s and put on him a military suit like George Washington, I think we're cooking with the same gas, if you will. We want to take our nation back from the globalists. We want to take our nation back. And Trump is our leader right now.
And he's saying it and he knows it. And inside baseball, he knows even more. He is on the same page as us. And that's why the enemy is so scared to death of him. They know he's not just acting like a populist. They know from the dossiers on him and the rest of it that he's been aware of this. He gave money against NAFTA and GATT 25 years ago. He hates it all. He has been basically under the radar. And so they know and they're scared.
Yeah. And I think the American people we've not seen such excitement in the American people in a very, very long time. In this nation. It's been a very long time.
Pastor Manning is a great guy. He doesn't ask me to do this, but I ask the listeners to check out his ministry. That'd be a great place, in my view, to tithe and support people if you only have globalist churches in your area. He feeds the local folks, teaches them about what's happening with the New World Order. He really is the type of church I would attend if I lived near to him. Otlet.org, great videos, great reports, great TV show, radio show, great materials for everybody free there on the site. But Otlet.org, he's been through a lot in Harlem over 30 years fighting and has now become a major leader in the area by being willing to go up against gangsters like Al Sharpton. So he's a good friend and a great patriot. Pastor James David Manning, Otla.org.
You're listening to Alex Jones.
Now, I rarely air a special report twice in a row. I aired this on Friday, but John Bound did a breakdown of major universities having hissy fits and freaking out over someone writing Donald Trump 2016 on chalk on stairs. I mean, this is the attack on basic thinking. Dozens of college students in fear, close quote, in Atlanta after Trump 2016 chalked across campus. Not Trump KKK, which the false flaggers do. No, no, no. Trump 2016, and they're now having psychologists in meetings and having to cancel part of the school as everyone goes in and says, we're scared. We saw the Trump. It was almost as bad as Yale. And the two professors over that department sent an email saying, listen, costume parties are part of freedom. This is true liberalism. You're allowed to, you know, have different ideas and dress like you want. And just, you know, you have your freedom as well. And so they caught him out in the square and began screaming at him and threatening to hit him and going, oh, help me. I'm scared. Oh, God, I'm not safe. Oh, my gosh, you're hurting me. I mean, I can't even scream as loud and as hysterically and as freaked out as they did. And guess what? Yale fired both of them. Fired the people that dare say there was freedom.
InfoWars journalist Adan Salazar writes, several students at Emory University in Atlanta requested a meeting with the school's president after the words Trump 2016 were scrawled across campus. The college news site, The Tab, published several photos of the chalking. Jim Wagner, the university president, said Tuesday he had spoken with some 40 to 50 students after they claimed they were triggered by the words Trump 2016 and other pro-Trump messages written in chalk on buildings and sidewalks around campus. The students said they were threatened by the intimidating messages and voiced genuine concern and pain to administrators. Reports the Associated Press. The Emory Wheel reports, one student said, I'm supposed to feel comfortable and safe here, but this man is being supported by students on our campus, and our administration shows that they, by their silence, support it as well. And I don't deserve to feel afraid at my school, she added. But individual students soon began to offer more detailed personal reactions to feelings of racial tension that Trump and his ideology bring to the fore. Has this juvenile corrosion of freedom of choice reached other American campuses? The University of Texas, for example? If you saw Trump 2016 written on the ground right here, would that offend you? Would you rally with other students and alert the university president?
It would offend me. I'm not sure I would go get the president of the university, but I'd be happy if someone did.
I'd sadly try to rub it out.
I think it just goes to show a lot about where our political process is at right now. So just be kind of, I think, disappointed is my main reaction.
No.
Why not? Why wouldn't you be offended?
People have a right to put in chalk Trump 2016 if they support him. I may not support him, but that doesn't mean that others aren't supporting him, and they have a right in chalk. It's not if it's not graffiti, you know, I'd be fine if people did that, as long as they don't infringe on the rights of others to write Clinton or Kasich or anyone else in chalk right next to it.
Why would it offend you?
Well, first of all, nobody should be writing their opinions on public streets. It's not the opinion of all the students in the body, and it shouldn't be represented in our university. And because I don't want Trump to win president for 2016. Because I think he's a dangerous man who is dishonest, he lies, and he's using his money to manipulate poor people into voting for him.
You can express political beliefs wherever you want. I think the First Amendment gives you that right, but I would just be disappointed, I think.
I think society is becoming more polarized. People are either right-wing or left-wing, very extreme positions, and the moderates aren't very talkative and seem to be frozen out, so you have to support extreme positions to get elected, and that's no good anymore.
Most of the students I tried to talk to had their heads buried in their phones. The Independent reports the more time young adults spend on social media, the more likely they are to become depressed. Well, they haven't seen anything yet. Wait until Obama's policies come home to roost, as young millennial men and women are drafted and sent to the front lines, fighting the globalist wars with a battle cry of political correctness. Maybe by then they will have grown up and realized that words don't hurt you, but New World Order shrapnel certainly will. John Bound for InfoWars.com.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. It's Alex Jones.
Well, I tell you, so many times, some of the most interesting stories, the biggest, most important stories, just come out of the blue. And I've gotten the chance to meet Tim Kennedy out at some local events. I know he's been friends for a couple of years and training partners with my good high school friend, Shane Steiner, who's no stranger to the show. And then he was coming by today just to check out the office. We were going to get some lunch after he was training with Shane over at the local jiu-jitsu place. And they just dropped this bombshell that, hey, the FBI visited me yesterday. This hasn't really broken yet. I just put it on my Facebook. They said ISIS is in Houston, basically, and is going to be trying to come after me. And there's a reason he's been involved directly taking out a lot of high-value targets. That's classified. He can't talk about it, but he's a famous Green Beret. He's an active Ranger-qualified Green Beret Special Forces sniper with tours in Iraq, Afghanistan, as well as other locations around the globe. After being awarded the Green Beret in 2005, he was deployed in Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom, attending sniper school in addition to many other advanced special operations courses. He was deployed in 2008. During this time, he wrote a three-part series of letters from a foreign land that chronicles his time in combat. He currently competes in the UFC's middleweight division, going as high as number two. Kennedy is one of the few fighters to simultaneously serve full-time in the United States Army while fighting professionally, and now he hosts the show Hunting Hitler. That's a giant hit success, just amazing. And he's involved also and co-owns Ranger Up, which I just absolutely come to my guys when we're designing t-shirts and say, don't copy them, but that's what I like. And it's like just more and more great stuff you're involved with. TimKennedyMMA.com. I said years ago, this ISIS spinoff of Al-Qaeda is big, a lot bigger than Al-Qaeda was, because I'm on the ground. I get the threats. I see them at Ferguson and at New York, and I see the signs. I see the stickers. It's trendy with the left, and it's in Texas. We go out to these Islamic training centers and get death threats. We get hacked. We get they've put Joe Biggs, former staff sergeant U.S. Army, decorated combat vet. They put him in ISIS videos when he went down to the border to show him on the Texas border. So this is what they do. But Tim Kennedy, just like Bin Laden's a high value target or was, he's a high value target. Now, Tim, I just set the stage. Is that accurate, what I said? Correct me if I'm wrong. You're the expert. And please break down in as much detail as you can about the personal Federal Bureau of Investigation visit and warning you got. And it's great to have you here in the InfoWar.
I've been a fan for a long time. So just appreciate you having me. Every day I get 5 to 10 people saying, hey, I hate you. You're going to die. I want to kill you. Everything that you stand for, I hate. What makes this significant is, this one was geotagged and they had content that they couldn't have gotten from anywhere else besides first person. So they had pictures of a guy's head that they had cut off and they said, this is going to be you. The geotagged picture was close enough that the FBI says, hey, this is significant. And that's why we're talking to you right now. The problem was that I've been doing this for 13 years. I don't know if I'm desensitized to it or I just don't care. And I have zero respect for the cowards that they are. And the FBI is like, you're not normal. You should be a little bit freaked out by this. I was like, I don't know. Let them come. I've been traveling all over the world to find these guys. And now they're going to come to Texas. Last time they gave it a whirl was in Garland. And that didn't go so well for them. So, come to Central Texas and see how this is going to work. The only thing they got going for them is they're brutal. They're evil and they have no respect for human life. They're uneducated. They're weak. And they're stupid. But they have no respect for anything. And they'll take advantage of the weakest sheep that they can get their hands on. And that's just not going to be me.
Well, it certainly shows that they are upset about your success, the fact you survived all those operations and clandestine fights you were in. And it's too bad you can't write a book about that. It's pretty interesting stuff just from folks I've talked to in the military. But obviously you can't get into that here today, but there's a reason they don't like you.
Yeah. I was in some of the most elite units that special operations have. I was in the missions to go get the guys that they have worshipped, their entire lives. As I love Chris Kyle and Marcus Luttrell, those are heroes, the Shugarts, the Gordons, that wing, the ISIS, the Al-Qaeda, they have their own guys that they do that. Well, I'm the guy that went and found those dudes. And they hate that about me. And now the success that I'm having not only as a shooter, but now as, you know, as a UFC athlete. You know, I'm a contender for the title, one of the top fighters in the world, and I still stand true to the values.
So you're winning shooting champions, you're winning UFC big bouts, you got a hit show on Discovery Channel, or is it History?
History Channel.
That's right, Hunting Hitler. I've seen it quite a few times. It's great. I mean, they certainly must not like that.
No, they hate me. They hate everything about me. They hate everything about you. They hate everything we stand for. You know, and they're going to do anything that they can to find the weakest, softest target around us.
I know you're still involved with the military and active duty and things. You can't get into all that. But we've had seen top generals, like the former head of Defense Intelligence, come out and say, we were ordered to basically aid al-Nusra, which is al-Qaeda in Syria. It's a horrible thing. We followed orders. Now it's out of control. We see other generals coming out, the head of Southcom coming out and saying, I don't want to follow the orders. I've got to. Women in frontline combat will ruin the military. That's unprecedented to have generals speaking out. Yeah. That shows you how bad Obama is.
I've never imagined that it would have this climate in the military. You know, like, we toe the line. You know, you tell us what to do, especially in special operations. We're fire and forget. You say, go do this. We're going to go do it better than you would have, you know, imagined it to be possible. And we're going to stay quiet about it. You know, like, our motto is the quiet professionals. This is not the culture of special operations to go in front and say, no, this was not right. We shouldn't have done this. No, that's stupid. You're going to get soldiers killed. No, we shouldn't have women here. Like, that is not the culture of special operations. But the fact that we are coming out and saying that really demonstrates that there's a gigantic problem.
Well, there's an admitted culling and a purge of the top brass that aren't traitors. I mean, let's just get down to brass tacks. And it's going all the way down to the non-commissioned officers from all my sources. And it's just unprecedented that everything we know, it's like Bongino, the former top secret service agent who was on earlier, said in a previous interview, he said, Alex, not only are you accurate, it's worse than you know. How could it be worse than I know? Because they can't tell me it's secret. It's just worse than I know? Okay, well, that's not refreshing.
Well, I mean, you can look at like micro examples, Benghazi, for instance, you know, where we have an idea of what happened. We know we have details, but really, like, what special forces guys were on helicopters ready to fly into Libya. What general was saying, no, you can go. We don't have access to that stuff. So, you know, yeah, all I can say is you have no idea how bad it was or how bad it is, because there's no way
to tell me. Well, I was told by Colonel Schaefer right after it happened, he got in a bunch of trouble, but met it out of it. And of course, he used to run the anti-Bin Laden units and the rest of it. Lieutenant Colonel Schaefer, that no, they had helicopters, they had planes. They could be there in an hour out of Italy. They were ordered to stand down. And then you ask why? Well, somebody wanted those weapons to be able to be transferred to Syria.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's micro, you know, and if that's the personification of the entire climate or other macro problems.
Well, it shows Obama and Hillary's about the military and about their own ambassador. They're just unbelievably bad news. And I'm not just here to demonize them. I don't even like going up against these people. They're so dangerous. But at a certain point, who are these people? I mean, they're out of control.
They are, and that's frightening. But, you know, that's external. I, you know, I can only be responsible for what I do and what I say.
I thought the government was using the threat of al-Qaeda to take our liberties domestically. I was all for taking them out. But now with ISIS, they are just all over the place. Years ago, I was saying, this is real. It's coming. This is a big movement. This has got young people involved. They're recruiting all over the West. I mean, I think personally, you've dealt with them, but I think ISIS personally is like five times the threat of al-Qaeda.
Absolutely.
I mean, they just seem... Yeah, what would you say about them?
Their efficiency in recruiting. And they're so smart and so far ahead, you know, using immigration opportunities, you know, being like, oh no, look at these horrible... women and that are impoverished. We need to get them out of these war zones. And so for every one female that we bring into Germany, we're also going to bring five military age men that are going to come in and, you know, rape every single woman that we can find and clone Germany. You know, don't think that they're not doing that here right now, that those guys aren't going to Chicago, that they're not going to be in Detroit. You know, every single metropolis, they're recruiting heavily. They're going after the low informed, the low socioeconomic demographics, and they are finding people. The homegrown terrorists, the San Bernardinos, that's going to happen. And it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Well, listen, Tim, thank you so much. Great having you here. Amazing. And Tim Kennedy, MMA.com, RangerUp.com. We're with InfoWars.com.
You're listening to Alex Jones. He aligns himself with the truth,
and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
Folks, when we go out and protest at the local abortion clinic of the baby body parts being sold, you notice, quote, anarchists showed up who then had Mao and Stalin tattoos and then announced we're Satanist, actually. And in my experience, they were black, they were white, they were Hispanic, but they all were like shriveled and hateful. You've seen the video. It went viral. And we're just screaming and yelling and spitting and grabbing our signs and but also stumbling around. And I'm not trying to be dramatic here. I want to ask Lou Rockwell, preeminent libertarian intellectual, best-selling author, formerly Ron Paul's chief of staff, one of the top guys over at the Von Mises Institute, that it seems to be reaching a critical mass where there's a method to the establishment's madness, but they are going insane in front of us. What is this hallucination we're witnessing? Is this the death throes? Is it a tempter tantrum? Or do you disagree with me? Or are we seeing just bizarre displays of collectivist mental illness? Because it just gets, ban the word father and mother, ban the words founding fathers, use G or Z. I mean, it's beyond any cult. If I read a novel about a cult like this, I wouldn't believe it. I mean, it's cult programming. What do you say to that rant, sir?
Well, it is crazy, and I somehow think it's the neocons. I mean, I can't believe that sometimes I miss the Rockefeller World Empire. As evil as they were, they didn't actually seem to be insane. This bunch is insane. I don't care whether it's Hillary or it's the Republican versions, Rubio and Jeb Bush and Ted Cruz and of course, Bernie Sanders. There are a lot of crazy people, warmongers. People who clearly lust for shedding of blood. They lust for the shedding of blood of others. They lust too often for the shedding of the blood of Americans, too. So it's absolutely true. They're sort of revealing their true selves. They do seem to be reveling in their victories, and they are enforcing insane policies. I mean, can you believe that they talk about mandating the registration of women for the draft? And according to the poll, anyway, 61% of American men went along with this. I mean, that's insane, too. Why? And, of course, in some sense, we can see the regime in these sorts of activities is wanting to make men into women and women into men. And that goes along with all what you're talking about, the pronouns and getting rid of mothers and fathers, not having boys and girls sections in toy stores or boys and girls sections in clothing departments. Everything has to be the same. Or rather the same, what did Facebook say, that there were 65 genders that you could choose among for your own on Facebook? So it's this goes right along with the crazed statism. They are just reveling in their power. And of course, these are people who love to do this to human beings. They just love to bomb. They love to kill, love to crush. They love to dominate. They love to lie to us. They love to take our children away. And they like to destroy our communities. Robert Nisbet, the great libertarian sociologist, pointed out that the state seeks to destroy every what he called intermediating institution. That is everything that stands between, he said, the naked individual and state power. So they want to get rid of states as versus the Fed. They want to get rid of communities. They want to get rid of businesses, of churches. Ultimately, they want to get rid of the family. They want to get rid of parents. And this is, of course, Plato's dream. This has been an ancient dream of these people. This is nothing new.
Well, that's why I love getting you on, because we could say the French Revolution and the Jacobins trying to hijack the Liberty Movement was the most modern, roots of communism. But really, it goes back to Plato and his plan to raise us like cattle and in the family itself. But then he would write the allegory of the cave, supposedly responding to his own vision. But he really is their God. He really is their model. I was brought up a Christian, and I believe in God, but I wasn't, a strong Christian, if you'd call it that. And I was like, devil, okay, kind of a bad energy in the universe, whatever. But the more I studied the globalist elites and what they're involved in, and then criminology, how psychopaths usually, end up actually being into Satanism, whether God's real or not, for the sake of argument for atheists, still, in criminology and psychology, there is a manifestation. The Nazis were into the occult. Lenin was into the occult. They sell us that, oh, there's no God, because they want to have the state be God, as you've pointed out. But really, behind closed doors, they're into occultism. Please elaborate on that and why you think Satanists across America, the stories on DrudgeReport.com, are such big supporters of Bernie. I thought a real Satanist, you know, they claim Anton LaVey style, he's all about empowering the individual and doing what you want, do as thou wilt, is the whole law. But no, it isn't really that, is it? You sell people on joining your cult, you're going to have fun, but really you're going to be slaves on Satan's plantation. Lee Rockwell?
Well, of course, and even though they said do as thou wilt, you're not allowed to do as thou wilt. You have to do what they want. And, you know, this is a very warped people. Does the Satan respond to this sort of thing? I mean, are they actually somehow communicating with him? I don't know. But they would like to be, and they are, you know, self-consciously pro-evil. So they enjoy killing, and they enjoy, all kinds of horrible practices with other human beings that they engage in. Some of these cults, really horrendous. And of course, they're all leftists. And I don't think you asked earlier, can we count on the left? I don't think so. I think the left has to be entirely rejected. I mean, I remember the last time I talked to Noam Chomsky, guy's written a lot of good stuff. This was during the 2008 campaign. And he was very, very anti-Ron Paul. And he told me he would support Hillary over Ron Paul. This is an alleged anti-war guy. Why was that? Well, it's because they hate private property. And they hate everything that stems from private property. Private property is essential to the family. It's essential to economic life. It's essential to human civilization. They want to smash it all. They're far worse than anybody in Orwell's 1984. And of course, they've got unbelievable technology to spy on us. The government now admits that the whole point of the Internet of Things is to spy on us in our homes. They're spying on us to an extent that Hitler or Stalin or Big Brother and Orwell yes. never could have dreamed of. And they're still not satisfied. They're still pushing. They want to get rid of cash, the better to control us.
Oh, I've talked to a lot of top leftists, as you have, and you're having dinner with them, they'll admit it. They'll go, listen, I know the government's staging false flags. I know they're bringing the drugs in. I know they're doing all these bad things. But it's going to be our government when we finally get control of it. So we want it to be as big as possible. And you're right. They see anybody with their own property. That's why they have a war on lemonade stands and farmers markets and the Amish. Uh-huh. They just see any normal, independent human activity, a happy Amish family out there, healthy, you know, doing well, self-sufficient, and they pull their hair out because those Amish aren't watching television thinking Hillary's God.
Well, also, they don't want people being happy. You know, it's what Mencken said about the Puritans. It applies to these guys. They can't stand it if anybody's leading a normal life and is happy and fulfilled, whether it's the Amish family or somebody else. They want to kill them. They want to crush them, like to send them to a camp. These people are just unbelievably evil. And those of us who are working against this, who are opposed to it, must never forget that we're working against people who are thoroughly evil with a capital E.
That's right. Lou Rockwell, I've been asking the questions. I want to see where you want to go when we come back, and we'll take calls. LouRockwell.com. And we've got Mr. Libertarian with us today.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
The reason I wanted last week, and now we've got him, to get Doug Hagman of HagmanandHagman.com, the Northeast Intelligence Network, on, was about the Scalia situation. Now, we told you there was going to be an investigation. Now they admit that there is a private investigation going on, and the Washington Post tried to head it off, admitting that he died in a secret society meeting that was a spinoff of Bohemian Grove, not just a hunting society. And I'm not saying it's a bad society he was in. These are feeder groups. These are compartmentalized. I would hear Doug Hagman probably 8-9 years ago or longer on Coast to Coast AM, and I said this last hour, I'm going to just say it now, and he would say, our sources in the federal government say they plan to flood Europe and the United States with radical Muslims to use the threat as a way to take our freedoms, and they're going to allow Sharia law to be taught in schools. And I would just go, that is ridiculous. A lot of what he said I knew was true, so I was confused. I liked hearing him on the radio, learned some stuff, knew a lot of it was true, but then he would say stuff that I was just like, you know, our elite aren't that crazy. And it's turned out it's true. So that's why I like to get him on. We should get him on more often. Doug, great to have you back. I tell you, things are so exciting, so scary now. I can't even believe Newt Gingrich is saying secret societies run everything on Fox News. And they're, I mean, everything we've talked about is just now coming out. I guess we really are run by crazy people who just want to destroy America and Christianity. I mean, it's what you said. It is the plan. What are your federal contacts telling you and state police contacts right now about what's happening with Scalia, where that's all going?
Alex, thanks for having me. A couple of things. With respect to Scalia, that investigation, his death, very mysterious indeed. John Poindexter wants people to understand who he is, big Obama donor, all that. But investigation is one-on-one. Him passing away or dying or being murdered, whatever, it's almost irrelevant. But at the ranch, and the fact that the most basic of investigative policies were not followed, that in and of itself is really problematic. The fact that there was no official there present to declare him dead or to sign off on a death certificate. The fact that he was embalmed before, of course, his of the family physician had spoken with the person who signed off, Cinderella, her last name, Cinderella, the judge there. The fact that he was embalmed before that conversation between Cinderella and the judge's personal care physician took place is obviously problematic. But the bottom line here is Scalia is out of the way, and now we've got a danger to our Constitution. I've got a ton of information about the actual scene itself and about the events before, during, and after. But Alex, what I want to tell you, and I'm here, my sources are telling me this, and this is kind of the first time I'm going public with this in this platform. There will be, between now and election, another Supreme Court vacancy. Okay. Now, before anyone yells at me, Pelican Brief, it doesn't have to be a death. It could be a resignation. But the information I'm getting is I guarantee you there will be one more Supreme Court vacancy. And that is to solidify the Supreme Court on behalf of Obama, where he can nominate and select and have the Senate confirm two, not just one, but two nominees during his tenure to absolutely solidify the progressive Marxist agenda of this cabal that's in power. Now, whether that happens according to the timeline, well, this is what's being told to me. I'm just relaying the information.
Are they saying who it is? Ginsburg?
That's, you know, not directly saying who it is, but by everything I've been able to really kind of get out of the people, yeah, Ginsburg appears where she's going to retire for health reasons. Now, if that doesn't happen, then there may have to go to plan B, and I'm not exactly sure what plan B is. But watch for that.
Okay, well, you told me 5 years ago they're worried about Obama wants to start a race war to bring in a civil emergency. We've seen him try that a bunch. You talked about the plan to flood us with Sharia law, and now I've got stacks of news today where it's happening in public schools everywhere. They're teaching it. They're making kids put on hijabs. They're making them praise Allah. This is even non-Muslim teachers. This is actually Common Core. What is all of this about on that front?
Well, everything works like all of these are cogs in a larger machine. The invasion, the alien invasion into this country is to rip the moral and spiritual and cultural fabric of our country, of course.
That's what they showed at the Academy Awards, is they showed the Tower of Babel in the background. What are they telling us?
They're in charge, and they're laughing at us. See, that's what people don't understand. They're showing this stuff, and people are looking at it and saying, well, you know, it's just art, it's entertainment, it's whatever. But the fact of the matter is they're telling us what they're going to do before they do it. And they're laughing at us because no one's getting it. No one's understanding it. Or at least very few are. You are, your audience is. But the majority of people are just, you know, hey, when we have really 32% of American people never hearing don't even know who Scalia was, for example, in a recent poll. We've got a problem in this country, obviously. And you know, you've proven that many times.
They don't know what planet they're on. So I'm asking a lot of questions here, and this is really important. What's the intel from all your great sources? What's the state of the Republic right now? What are the big points we need to go over here today?
Okay, great push right now to change the complexion of the judiciary. The fact is, if they could perhaps get Loretta Lynch in as a potential candidate for the Supreme Court, that'll throw the DOJ into some little bit of chaos there, to take away from the Hillary Clinton indictment possibility. There's a war right now going on inside the FBI, according to my FBI source, saying that if she doesn't get indicted, there's a lot of good people that they're going to lose a lot of good people. There's a push for additional racial riots this summer, but going for broke, that is. In other words, what we saw back in 2011.
That was dress rehearsal.
Absolutely. So we've got that. The economy, our economy is just, it's in a crap storm. I mean, however, what will help the economy? Well, we need a war. We've got a ready-made war right now in Syria. And I got to tell you right now, Syria is, it's my belief that Syria will be, Death Race Damascus. The road to Damascus is the road to World War III. And despite Ukraine, despite the South Sea Chinese Islands, Syria is where we need to keep our attention to, where NATO is being pitted against Russia by this globalist cabal. You pointed this out in your investigations years ago. So it's all coming to pass right now. It's crunch time, so to speak.
I just want the listeners to realize this is for all the marbles, and we don't have any future if we really just don't understand. It isn't brave to fight these people. It's survival. We don't have a choice. Do you get where I'm going?
Absolutely. And, you know, you point out so many great points. You know, you did a video here a couple of days ago, I believe it was, about the dark horse of the New World Order, that being technocracy. And I think if people really understood the bigger picture here, what's going on, we're being forced like cattle into this new old world order, so to speak. And what you're talking about, what you just brought up, the articles that you have right there, the focus, that what you're focused on is really the key here, where I think people need to understand the picture is a lot bigger.
Well, how did you know first that they really plan to bring in radical jihadis and people and teach it in schools? What is the sick freak plan there?
Well, and you know, look, I'm not the smartest, not the brightest bulb in the bunch. So I've had some good sources tell me, okay, this is what they're going to do. Their ultimate objective is to criminalize the current forms of the three monotheistic religions here in the United States: Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. If you can believe that, distill all three religions, monotheistic religions, to create a state religion that's compatible, where all religions are compatible with one another.
UN plan. So get us all together, bring in radicals, have us fight and kill each other, and then take all our rights to create safety.
That's right. And yes, in order to do that, they've got to rip down the existing infrastructure in order to create a new one, just like the Phoenix. And as you've gone through so many times.
Yeah, but you say you're not the smartest bulb. I mean, you just crystallized that better than I ever could. And that is the plan. Now, is that what your federal sources told you? Because you were saying this 8-9 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they were saying. I was having a hard time really understanding what the big plan was. I was so focused on these small skirmishes or these individual disparate events that I wasn't seeing the big picture. And what you've done is to crystallize the big picture. And others, once you see the big picture and understand how one event works in tandem with
another.
There's
no going back.
That's it. And so, for example, the war in Syria is connected to the illegal immigration of aliens here in the United States, which is connected to the criminalization of free speech, which is connected to the Second Amendment. And people who stand in the way, like Scalia, of the First and Second Amendment. I mean, everything is connected. And once you see the wheels in motion, those little cogs, the moving parts, then you can see. Hey,
and there's unity of agenda. It's the same rhetoric to bring in the jihadis here as it is in Europe. You can see the unified power. Hagman and Hagman.com, folks. You want to check out that site, see the show and the videos. Amazing information. We're going to come back with him, get more into this in your phone calls. It's just, like you said, once you see the big picture, folks, it's just chilling. Again, I'm getting chills all over me right now. We are in danger. We are in danger. You can love him, you can hate him, but Jesse Ventura is known as one of the consummate political mavericks. They say he basically wrote the book that Arnold used to get elected as governor. And then, of course, now so many other politicians have modeled insurrection campaigns off of Jesse Ventura. He, of course, was an insurrectionist mayor, and then, of course, a governor. He also was a top entertainment wrestler and movie star and best-selling author. And he joins us here. He's also a friend of mine. I was part of two seasons of his investigative report, Conspiracy Theory. And now we have Newt Gingrich coming out saying Donald Trump isn't part of the elite secret societies with a straight face. That's why they're after him. Well, Jesse Ventura's known him for multiple decades. They're friends, play golf, eat dinner, hang out. He said, 6 months ago when I was looking into Donald Trump, he said, no, he's for real. It's exactly what you see. It is an incredible spectacle. But here's the bigger question. Will Jesse Ventura throw his hat in the ring and run? He has basically said, we'll have him go into it in more detail, that if it's an establishment candidate like Hillary or Rubio, that it looks like a green light. How would that happen? Libertarian Party? Because I like somebody like McAfee, but the more serious candidate would be the Libertarian nomination because they're in all 50 states on the ballot. You got to have that. Ballot access would be Jesse Ventura.
Hi, Alex. Great to be here. Yeah. First of all, let me state this. With all the current candidates that you have out there and that have been out there within the last 4 to 5 months, I know a lot of them have dropped out. I have one thing that none of them candidates have. I have one thing that Trump's money can't buy. I have one thing that none of these candidates have. You know what that is, Alex?
Tell me.
I have an honorable discharge from the United States Navy, where I served from September the 11th, 1969, until September the 10th, 1975. 6 years, 4 on active duty, 2 years in the reserves. Every Republican candidate right now has stated that they would commit a war crime, that if the situation arose, they would okay torture.
They try to one-up each other on what they do.
Well, and the point is, that is a war crime, Alex. If I did that as a member of the military and I took an oath, I would not receive an honorable discharge committing a war crime.
I agree.
How can the alleged leader of the military openly admit that he would commit, that he or she would commit war crimes? Are you kidding me?
I'm glad you raised this, because that's my biggest issue with Trump is he tells the truth about 9/11 and Saudi Arabia and does great things, but then he flips over and says, you know, we'll go after the wives of terrorists. It's just...
We haven't had a veteran in the White House for a long, long time.
Well, certainly not a combat vet like JFK. JFK was a hero. He was blown up, you know, in that PT boat fighting a battleship.
Even Nixon served. Getting back to it, Alex, it's time to elect a veteran instead of and someone that knows what it's like to take an oath and to be prepared to die for your country. None of these presidential candidates right now have ever did that. None of them.
So I want it in your own words. I saw a newspaper article, but I don't trust newspapers. Half the time they lie. Where are you on running for president? What is the climate, or what is the circumstances that will induce you to run?
Well, right now, it's about a 30-day window I have, roughly, to inform. I've been in contact with the Libertarian Party. They have formally invited me to their convention in Orlando, and that's where they give out their nomination or you know, support, and you go on the ballot as the Libertarian's choice for president. It's totally personal now for me whether I want to get involved at that level and go 24/7 and put myself through what a campaign from June through November would do to me and my family. But right now, I don't see anybody out there. Bernie Sanders, I talked with him a couple days ago, and he unequivocally told me that if he loses, which chances are he's going to, he's done a remarkable thing, but Hillary's got the superdelegates, so that's the fix. And if Bernie loses, he is going to endorse Hillary, which to me stops the revolution. How do you get on board with somebody you've just accused of being owned by Wall Street?
And who is stealing the popular vote with superdelegates.
Well, and here's what I think they got in mind. Let me project this out there, because with these two parties, you notice all the candidates agree they'll support whoever the party chooses. Well, that shows loyalty to the party, not the country. That shows their true colors. They're loyal to their party.
That's why George Washington won a political party's banned.
Exactly. But the thing is, here's what I think is going to happen, Alex. I think Sanders will lose, and then he will endorse Hillary, and Hillary may take him as the VP. And that way it'll attempt to bring the Sanders people in line with the Clinton people. Ugh. And if that happens, they certainly will defeat the Republican.
Yeah, because if they don't bring Sanders in, a lot of those people are going to go Trump. They've said that. The polls show that.
Where would the Sanders people prefer to go, and where would the Trump people prefer to go if they don't make it? To a Jesse Ventura?
To a libertarian,
yeah. Truly a centrist? I'm in the middle. I don't need to go to the far left. I don't need to go to the far right. That's how I won Minnesota. The Republican Norm Coleman had to appease the far right. Skip Humphrey had to appease the far left. I had the center, which wins it. They couldn't get back in the middle.
I agree. Now, let me inject this question. I read in the newspaper report that I covered yesterday that you, to paraphrase, you said, look, if it's not Sanders or it's not Trump, if it's not an anti-establishment candidate, I'm going to run probably as a libertarian, and then you got 30 days to do it. Specifically, you're saying what, and I understand, I mean, are you leaning 64, 40 against?
It's 50-50 right now. I want to see who wins these final March things, so we're pretty sure then who the two candidates are going to be, but you never know. I mean, they could go to that convention and they could take it right away from Donald if they want to.
I was about to say, would you run against Donald Trump?
Sure. If I choose to run and he's the Republican candidate, I run against Republicans and Democrats regardless of who
they are. No, I understand, but surely the Trump thing is an anti-establishment run.
Well, that's true, but maybe a lot of anti-establishment. Donald still supports, torturing people. He's going to blow up and exploit the wars more. All of these candidates.
Yeah, so you've gone from a month ago saying you like Donald, but his torture comments are pushing you over the edge to maybe be ready to run up against him.
Well, not just that, but his war comments. They're all going to go to war again.
Separately, ships off the coast of China, North Korea threatening to use nukes, U.S. proxy war in Ukraine, starting a war with Russia. It seems like our elite are going insane. What would you say about the state of the climate of the world right now politically?
Well, I'd say that the United States needs to stop being the major force of war throughout the world, because every war that happens now, we're involved in it in one way or another. And I'm sick of it. People, I want to break this spell too. Everybody thinks you have to elect a Democrat or Republican. Why?
You're running. I can tell you're running.
Why? Why do you have to elect them?
Jesse, I sense more energy in you than in the 10 years I've known you. You're more aggressive. You're running for president, buddy.
No, I ain't. I'm 50-50. No. I'm going to watch what happens this month.
No, I think you recognize history's happening. This is a special election, and you want to be heard. Bare minimum, you cannot lose when it comes to injecting real issues. And so I think you're running for president. I think you're doing it.
Well, Alex, all I'll do with you on that is say don't hold your breath on it.
So much more is happening in the world. The reason I would say run, I don't want you to kill yourself doing it. I know you've been through a lot. But I know if you ran, you would run to win. I love seeing the Trump phenomenon of a maverick. I know you're a real maverick. I have questions about Trump. I think he's a good guy. You say he's a good guy. I'm supporting him right now. But I would love for you to run just because the bully pulpit you'd get. And I'd love to be able to, let me know. I want to be there at that press conference when you announce.
Okay. Well, like I said, if I do it, I'm doing it to give people what I believe they're really seeking, and that's an alternative to the Democrats and Republicans. Because if you elect a Democrat or Republican, you get the party with it, no matter what anybody says.
Would you consider taking a position in a Trump administration?
I probably doubt that, because I like Bernie Sanders endorsing Hillary, I don't ever want to lose my integrity and become part of those two parties in any way, shape, or form.
All right, I know you're working on two big books. I know the subjects, they are bombshell. I think this has been one of your most dangerous books ever. Look forward to talking to you then. And this is such a hot period.
One of them's not. One of the books I'll preview for you a little bit. I'm doing a book on, it's entitled The Stupid Politicians Say.
The stupid bleep, yeah. And then the other one is the big dangerous subject. Well, let's do this since things are coming up. I'm especially going to be the first, but at least the second. I want to be right there at the trough when or if you don't make the announcement, either way.
I'll let you know you've been my friend too long. I'll give you the heads up one way or another.
All right, that's awesome. I know you got to go, so I won't say bye to you in the break. I'm going to come back and take calls. Jesse Ventura, Off the Grid, TV show, books. Google the name Jesse Ventura. Jesse, thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thank you, Alex. Always a pleasure. And hi to everybody out there in InfoWar land.
You're awesome. Thank you, Jesse.